Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter number 12, and I'll read you a few verses right here. A couple of you have heard this. If you're in the young adult Sunday school class, many of you know that I wrote a book for the young adults here at the church that we're teaching through right now, and this was the second lesson in it, but I couldn't get away from talking about it again tonight. You know, I've never dealt with it out here as far as in the sanctuary or in a service, so I want to give you some thoughts out of this tonight, and I actually dealt with some of it, one of the points of it, and really just centered in on it in devotions this morning at the sheriff's office. Know what your Bible said, Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, note verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the lesson that I dealt with there, and what I want to talk to you about tonight, is simply this thought, guarding your mind and dealing with the mind tonight. I'll say this to you. I think that we could all agree that we have mind problems from time to time. And, you know, a lot of times we act like we've really got it all together. But the truth of the matter is this, each one of us at some point along the way, if not on a daily basis, at least on probably a weekly basis, we deal with our mind. And, you know, I thought about this. I try to stay busy. Dad said this years ago. He said, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. And that's true tonight, amen. I read some stuff and done some study on it, and here's one thing that Warren Wiersbe said. He said, the mind is the battlefield on which the Christian's life is won or lost. And boy, how true that is, the mind. The devil can get you thinking about something. Man, he can just turn your world upside down. And I have personally before, I had it made up in my mind that somebody hated me and was against me and was going to split the church. And man, sit down and talk to them and get done talking to them and realize it was all in my mind. And our mind. Then Watchman Nee said this. He said, the greatest conflict in the Christian life is the control of the mind, controlling our mind, and not allowing our mind just to overrun us. I go through seasons every once in a while where I can't get my mind to turn off. Has anybody ever been like that before where, man, it just runs and runs and runs and runs? And honestly, the past 3 or 4 days, I've been in another one of those seasons. And I go to sleep at night, and man, I don't have no trouble going to sleep. Miss Leslie will tell you that. I go sleep on the recliner. I go sleep sitting in the floor. But I have problems staying asleep. Usually about 1 or 1:30, I wake up, Brother Aaron, I'm wide awake. I'm looking at the ceiling. And my mind, a matter of fact, 2 nights ago, I said to myself, mind, why don't you stop? Has anybody ever been there before? Our mind just running constantly. And Watchman Nee said the greatest conflict in the Christian life is the control of the mind. I thought about this. Many ever-changing influences surround us in our daily lives. Thus, it is imperative to ground oneself in God's unchanging truth. When everything else is changing, when our mind's running wide open, we have to go back to a solid foundation. We have to go back to something that is grounded and something that is solid, and of course, that is the Word of God. I'll show you 4 things. I want to center in on really one of them tonight, but number one, there is the battle of the mind. The devil targets your thoughts, the battle of the mind. I've already mentioned this a little bit, but the Bible said this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, know what he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold. Then he goes on to say, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I thought about this. There's the whole armor of God, and the Bible talks about the armor of God. And the only offensive thing that he gives us is the Word of God. That's it. Everything else is a defensive tool, but the Word of God is an offensive tool. It's the only thing that he gives us. Now think what he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the stronghold, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, how do we do that? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's through the Word of God. It's through the Word of God and the battle of our mind. You know, that's what Satan did in Matthew chapter number 4. He tried to get in Satan, or he tried to get in Jesus' mind and offered him everything. And how did he debunk that? He done it with the Word of God. So number one, I see the battle of the mind. The devil targets your thoughts. But number two, and I want to spend a little bit of time right here, the barrier of conformity. Don't be pressed into the mold of the world. We see that there is the battle of the mind, but then there's the barrier of conformity. And it goes back to our text, Romans chapter number 12, verse number 2, where the Bible said this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now know what he says, and be not conformed to this world. Mom and Dad sitting here, so I got to be careful how I say this. I wasn't having a stroke. Some of y'all thought I was having a stroke, didn't you? But Mom and Dad used to say to do things, and in the backside of my mind, I would think, well, I would if you would teach me how. If, you know, Daddy would say, go do this, and he would think that, you know, I had a college degree in mechanics and didn't have no clue what I was doing, and then fussed because I didn't do it right. So if somebody's going, he's shaking his head, just see him shaking his head. If somebody's going to tell me to do something, then I need to know how to do it. So he says this, don't be conformed to this world. Well, what does conform mean? It means this, made to resemble. And what Paul is saying is, and be not made to resemble this world. Now, I'm not changing the King James Bible tonight. That's just the meaning of the word, okay? He said, you don't need to be made to resemble the world. How many times have we been told that? How many times have we been preached that to? Don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't run with the world. Don't do what the world does. Be different. Okay, I understand that. I think we can all come to the conclusion we understand that. But how do I not do that? I live in the world. I'm around the world all the time. I'm around negative influences all the time. And so how do I not do that? How am I not conformed to the world? How am I not made to resemble the world? Well, he tells us, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transform means to change into another form. So he's saying this, your mind needs to be transformed. It needs to be changed into another form. And I said this whenever I was teaching this, and even in devotion yesterday morning or this morning, the great picture of that is a caterpillar turned into a butterfly. That metamorphosis that takes place, and it's transformed into something else. Now, what's he saying? He's saying, don't be made to resemble the world, but be changed into another form. Okay, well, how am I going to be changed into another form? He goes on to tell us, by the renewing of your mind. Well, that word renew means this. It means renovation, a complete change for the better. A renovation or a complete change for the better. Well, what happened when I got saved? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So here it is, the barrier of conformity. How are we not conformed to this world? We have to allow the Lord to renovate our mind and to change us into another form. In other words, we're no longer walking after the lust of the flesh, but we're walking after the Spirit now. We're no more walking after the world, but we're walking after Christ. We're no longer longing for the things of the world, but we're longing to be pleasing to Christ. So there is this barrier of conformity. And he says this, he says, and be not conformed to the world, but allow Christ to transform you. Again, how does that transformation come? Well, number one, it comes through salvation, but number two, it comes through the Scripture. Comes through the Word of God. Again, what did Jesus do when he was tempted? Three different times he said this, it is written in Matthew chapter number 4. Now, what did he say after that? He said, it is written, and then he quoted the Old Testament. So what is he doing? He's doing this. He's using the Word of God to renew his mind, to be transformed to being like God instead of the world. And I want to say this to you today. That's a daily battle that we have to face. That's the reason every day we need to start our day in the Word of God. Every day we need to start our day in the Word of God. Matter of fact, this morning I got up, and I'm going through Proverbs again right now, and I got up and I read my chapter in Proverbs this morning, and man, I was telling Miss Leslie this afternoon a couple verses, Brother Josh, they just spoke to my heart. They just spoke to my heart. So there is the barrier of conformity. Don't be pressed into the world's mold. Now, I want you to see this. Number three, not only do we see the battle of the mind and the barrier of conformity, but number three, I want you to see this, the blessing of renewal. Well, what did he say? He said that we are to renew our mind. Well, the blessing of renewal. Think about this. God transforms our thinking through his word. Now, I'm going to pick right up where I just stopped at. Listen to what he said in Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, listen to what he said in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you. He's telling us what kind of mind we need to have. The blessing of renewal. He's saying this is the mind that you need. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So he's saying this, the mind that Christ had is the mind that you need to have. Look what he says. He says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him, here it is, the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. So what was the mind of Christ? Well, number one, it was the mind of a servant. He took upon himself the form of a servant. What does a servant, if they're a true servant, they have one agenda in their mind. And you know what it is? To be pleasing to their master. Whatever their master wants done, then that's what they want to do. He's saying your mind needs to be like the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ was this. It was not what he wanted to do, but what God wanted done. Matter of fact, you remember what he said when he was on the... I just thought about this. You remember what he said when he's right before he went to the cross? He said when he was praying in the garden. Here's what he said. He said, Father, if it be thy will for this cup to pass, I'd appreciate it. And I'm not quoting that verbatim. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He said, And boy, there's so much that we could say there. We could talk about the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ in that statement. But ultimately, what he was saying was this. I want my mind to be God's will. And to do that, I have to die to myself and be renewed in him. What did he say in chapter 12, verse number 1? Note what he says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, watch this, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. My mind immediately runs back to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, what was that sacrifice? It was placed on the altar. You know what he's saying to us? He's saying that we are to live a life that is a life on the altar. It's a life on the altar. And when you're living your life on the altar, praying and talking to the Lord, you know what you're going to say? Father, if it be your will for this, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It is the renewing of our mind, and the blessing of that is this. We walk hand in hand with Christ. We walk in fellowship with Christ. We live with Him, and we talk with Him, and we talk with and we walk with Him. So it's the blessing of renewal. God transforms our thinking through His Word. Christ does that. These verses, whenever you look in Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 5 through 8, these verses teach us to think like Christ. Watch this. Verse number 6, He is sovereign in the form of God. But in verse number 7, He steps down from sovereign to servant. In verse number 8, He steps from servant to sacrifice. He made Himself of no reputation in verse number 7. He took upon Himself the form of a servant in verse number 7. He humbled Himself in verse number 7. He became obedient unto death in verse number 8. Now, I want to say this to you. If our mind's going to be the right kind of mind, the blessing of renewal is this. We die to ourselves and we're raised anew in the Lord Jesus Christ. We die to what we ultimately want and we leave it with Him for His will to be done in it. It's not my will, but thy will. I'm glad that He don't give me my will all the time. I really am, because if He did, boy, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. I'd be in a mess. But we must learn to die to that in our mind, to our will, and allow Him to raise us anew in our mind, become a mind like His. And that mind was this: I want to be pleasing to my Master. I want to be pleasing to my Master. You know, Sunday I done that. If you watched, I done that devotion Sunday on words. And I ended up writing a devotion also on that and sending it out to the sheriff's office this week. The devotion, not just sheriff's office, but several others get that in the county. But I was thinking about this. When our mind is in the right place, our words will be in the right place. If our mind is right, before we speak, we'll think, and we'll say, Christ, is this pleasing to you? Before we type, we'll think. And you know, I said this Sunday, I'll say it again tonight. When you say it, it's already been said. You can say, I'm sorry, a million times over, but once it's said, it's said. And once you post it, it's posted. It don't matter how quick you take it out. I guarantee you somebody has already saw it. Somebody has probably already screenshotted it. So just be careful. And it all goes back, I'm telling you, man, it all goes back to our mind. Having our mind in the right place, and that's with Christ. Now, note this, number 4, and I'll be done and we'll go ice skating. And let me say this, when we read His Word, we learn to die to ourselves and allow the mind of Christ to be in us. Number 4, now here's the blueprint for pure thoughts. He goes on to give us a blueprint, Philippians chapter number 4, of the thoughts that we need to have. Know what he says, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So he gives us a blueprint for the way that our mind needs to be. What is it? Here's what we need to think on: true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, and praises. That's what we need to think on. Somebody brings negative things to you, you don't even need to think on them. You need to tell them to shut their mouth and go on. You just don't even think on it. You know, the reason a lot of people's mind gets jacked up is because they get on social media and you can't believe what you see on social media. I mean, you can't believe the news anymore. Oh, we're supposed to have got 18 inches of snow last week. I wish we would have instead of what we got now. But anyway, he's saying to us, Paul's saying, look, here's a blueprint for the way your thoughts need to be. They need to be true thoughts. They need to be honest. They need to be just. Are they pure? Boy, that's a big one right there. Are they pure? Is what you're putting into your mind pure thought? What you're looking at, what you're listening to, what you're reading. I'm just going to say this in passing. Some preacher says them things sometimes when you're not in church, and I think in the backside of my mind, man, where's the pure in that? What's pure? That's what we think on. If it's lovely, if it's of a good report. So I got some hot gossip. Well, I just don't need to hear it. Is it a good report? I got something to tell you about a preacher. Well, if it isn't people being saved and God blessing His church, I just don't need to hear it. I just don't need to hear it. Not long ago, I had a preacher call me, and he said, "Hey, have you heard about brother such and such?" And I said, "Is your church growing?" He said, "Oh, no, it's not that." I said, "Well, I hope you have a good afternoon. I don't need to hear nothing else." You said, "Did you?" I really did. And if he'd have kept talking about it, I'd hung a phone up on him. Let me tell you the reason why. It's not pure thought. It's not pure thoughts. Think about this. Is it a good report? Is it virtue? Is it praise? He said, these are the things that we are to think on. So there's the blueprint of thoughts tonight. Think on these things. Now, I say this, and we don't have to talk about it out loud, but in the book that I wrote, there's a class discussion in which we do it in class. But I'll give you just a couple things from this in closing tonight. What's one source that fills your mind most each day? And I'm sure we can say a lot of things right there. One of the things, one of the sources that fills a lot of people's mind today is the first thing that they put in it in the morning when they get up. You know, a lot of people, as soon as they wake up in the morning, first thing they do is go to the news. And they wonder why they're depressed all day. It's because they went to the news. And my mama's pointing fingers tonight, but I'm not looking. But anyway, they go to the news. And I'm telling you, man, first thing we can do, one source that fills your mind most each day, it should be this. It should be the Word of God. But many times it's social media, and some people, as soon as they wake up, years ago, back in the 1900s, Brother Rodney, people smoked a lot, and they kept them laying beside the bed. I've heard people talk about it. And first thing they'd do in the morning when they woke up was reach over and get them a Pall Mall and put it in their mouth and smoke it. Some people, I know people are still this way today. First thing you do is reach over and get a can of dip and put a dip in their mouth or a chew tobacco in their mouth. What's the first thing we're putting in to our mind each day? I want to say this to you. Man, it ought to be the Word of God. Daddy said, that's awful. It ought to be, and he wasn't talking about the Word of God. He was talking about tobacco. But anyway, I better clarify that. Somebody was watching that. They're like, Brother Allen said it's awful to put the Word of God in your mind first thing in the morning. Watch this. It the very first thing that we put into our mind when our mind is fresh in the morning, I'm telling you, it influences us throughout the rest of the day. You ever woke up in a good mood to watch the news and it be ruined? Or to look on social media and think, well, that's just a lie. In recent days, man, I've just had about go off of it because of all the junk and the lies. I'm telling you, it's junk and lies, full of it. And boy, it'll just ruin your whole day. So what's a source that fills your mind each day? Here's another thing. How can we replace negative input with Scripture? How can we do that? And I'll just give you a couple things right here. Number one, by reading the Bible. But number two, by listening to the Bible. And I'll say this, by listening to a good Christian podcast. I enjoy doing that. Matter of fact, Tabernacle's got one out. Tabernacle Baptist Church. I didn't know about it. Brother Jake Kite was telling me about it today. He sent it to me. And every message on it's from Dr. Seitler. It's years ago from Dr. Seitler. And he sent me a message today on the 12 different men in Proverbs. And man, I'm telling you, it's unreal. But anyway, that's one way that we can help to replace negative thoughts with Scripture is by listening to preaching, by listening to scriptural music, by listening to the Bible. And then here's another thing. How does thinking biblically change our decisions? How does thinking biblically change our decisions? You remember years ago, some of y'all remember this, some of you probably won't, but those, you know, these bracelets went around, these shirts that went around, and all of them said WWJD, WWJD. You know, there's not a day in my life that goes by that I don't think about that. And it simply means, what would Jesus do? You know, there's a lot of flowers. I don't need no bracelet to remind me of what Jesus does. Well, you know what? Some of them, the way they talk every once in a while, the way they act every once in a while, I wish they had a bracelet on. I wish they had a big box in front of them that said, but anyway, what would the Lord do? So how does thinking biblically change our decisions? Before we make that decision, before we say what we're going to say, before we post what we're going to post, we think, what would Christ say about this? What would Jesus do in this situation? How would He react to this? And I think that it'll help us. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, train your mind to dwell on the promises of God, and your heart will soon follow. Boy, I thought that was a great statement. Train your mind to dwell on the promises of God, and your heart will soon follow. Our mind tonight. I'm telling you, the devil don't have to have our mind. We don't have to live, in a confused world. The devil's not the author of confusion. And we don't have to live in a confused world. Amen. Our mind, or let me back up and rephrase that. We live in a confused world, but we don't have to live in a confused state. And I'm not talking about North Carolina either, okay? I'm talking about our state of mind. North Carolina's confused too. We don't have to walk around confused every day. Why? Because we have the Scriptures. We can die to ourselves, renew our mind in the Lord Jesus Christ, and allow Him to help.